all you people being here today. Usually we're in a bubble, so it's great to see you. Local government really doesn't work unless we have the voices of the community. So it's really important that we hear from you and understand from you. And it's fantastic. I can speak for myself only, but I know other people on this committee have been in River Forest forever. We love it. We love everything about River Forest. This is why we came here. We don't want to change River Forest, you know. So I do want to make sure that you understand that we really appreciate you being here. If after I talk and other people talk and we have the public comments, there's a situation where questions still aren't answered, I'm more than happy to stick around and have a dialogue with anyone, or you can call me or anything. I want to be as transparent as possible. I think we'll find that a lot of the things that we've heard, we agree with and want to make sure are addressed, but we want to make sure that you understand that we're listening, and we're actually very close together on a lot of these things. And again, I apologize because I know public comment's not next, but I think it makes sense just to kind of give a brief conversation here, a brief statement here. I want to do three things, just talk about what the background is to the situation, where we currently are, what we're doing here today, and what the future holds, okay? So the background is about 3 years ago, we had the comprehensive plan that was put together. As part of that plan, we were told that the village needed to update their zoning. That was one of the major things that were highlighted. So about a year ago now, the village had the Economic Development Committee, this committee, put work on getting some zoning changes put into place. We were able to hire Hustle and Levine, who we were very lucky to have. They're one of the best in the country, literally. They do this all around the country. They happen to be local and know the area very well and are invested in the area. We spent over 9 months on back and forth. This is a slow process. Every meeting we've had here, we've talked about the zoning changes that need to take place. This is nothing new. We've been going over this every meeting month after month after month. And by the way, if we do miss a meeting, it's because we can't have a quorum. We're all volunteers. We don't always make it. There's never been any situation where we would have a meeting or try to not have a meeting so that people wouldn't be able to hear their voice. That would be the last thing we'd want to do, okay? So the village, we hired the consulting company. We've gone back and forth again for about 9 months going over this. And what we believe to be relatively reasonable and in line with what River Forest is looking for, zoning changes. By the way, all of these zoning changes would probably be allowed under variances if we were to do a development. And I want to get into why that's an important situation, okay? At the same time, it should be noted, this is completely separate, but somewhat related, I guess, but a completely separate thing. The village, the Lutheran Children and Family Services building was being left. They were going to leave it vacant. It's decrepit. It was an opportunity for the village to come in and be able to buy it so that we don't have just a vacant, dangerous building sitting there. Okay, so we thought that would be an opportunity. In many cases like this, the village will come in, take care of it so that we're able to give it to a developer so it's not just sitting there like it is now. I don't think anyone wants that. We want a beautiful community, okay? There are no proposed developments, none, absolutely none, on Madison. There's people that have come and talked to us about it. They've all been local, people driving by, things like that. It's not really been marketed. There's no development. You've seen plans. Those have nothing to do with anything in reality in terms of any development that's being offered to take place there. Okay, so I just want to give all that as a kind of a background. So what the committee is currently being tasked to do per the comprehensive plan and the board and the village is to have this zoning looked at, in which we've done over the last 9 months. We've just been asked to get these reasonable, with these zoning changes that we've looked at different communities. So a lot of work has gone into this. There can be disagreements and whatnot, but a lot of work has gone into it, and it is what this committee has been tasked to do, to vote on it and to move it forward if possible, okay? Again, I'm just kind of going, I had some notes here, so excuse me. So that's what we're doing here. In the future, what would happen? This does not stop here, right? Any of these zoning changes, we do not have a wand that we're able to just change, make these zoning changes. This would go on to the zoning committee. It would go on to the board. and there's a lot more approvals that would take place. This is a purposely slow process so that everyone can be heard and understood, and so that we can have this dialogue where possible, okay? Any development on top of that would need to be approved once again. And that, again, is a pretty slow process where voices will be heard. As part of the zoning change, we're allowing, so why do the zoning change, right? One, it's out of date. It is terrifically out of date, and we do variances on every development, okay? I think when I was reading some of the things that people are talking about, there's a uniqueness to River Forest. I think all of us on this committee, we're on this committee because we believe in that uniqueness. We want to preserve the River Forestness of River Forest. None of us are here looking to have any sort of giant, and I wouldn't vote for any sort of giant, disgusting monstrosity. I don't think that's what anyone is looking for. We want to have offers, right? So if you have the proper zoning, so when you have a situation where a developer from an out-of-state developer, whatever it might be, comes in and says, here, you know, you have this property, we're looking to do this, what are your zoning, you know, restrictions and whatnot? And we go, well, this is what they are, but we can get a variance. It's very expensive for a developer to put together a proposal and go through all that process just to maybe have a variance be made. We need to have the proper zoning in place. This will allow us to get more offers, and this will allow us better options so that when we're choosing the developments and the community's choosing the developments, we're able to look at it and say, which one is River Forest going to like? Which one has got that River Forest uniqueness to it? So this is an effort to get there so that we do have these better options. So we're not dealing with local developers and things of that nature. We want the best of the best, and we deserve it. We got a great community. So I wanted to say that before we got into too much. Hopefully I didn't take up too much time there. And again, I'm more than happy to stick around afterwards and have a dialogue with anyone who would like to. Okay. With that, item number two is public comments.
Teresa Peavy.
Thank you. My name is Teresa Peavy, and after the last EDC meeting, I wrote a letter to the EDC commissioners, and I would like to read that letter. My name is Teresa Peavy, and my family has lived at 13 Ashland for 25 years. I'd like to address two issues brought up at the April 5th, 2022, 2023 Economic Development Commission meeting. At that meeting, Mr. Chuplunker asked for a traffic study and a study of the burden on other River Forest services, such as schools, the library, police, etc., with these new zoning proposals. Mr. Chuplunker was told that a survey can't be done because they don't know what will be going in the new TIP locations, but that it would be done once a developer explained what they wanted. I take exception to this excuse. Clearly, Mr. Houseel, the EDC, and the village know what can go at Madison and Ashland, as well as the North Avenue TIF, because they drew the ideas into the comprehensive plan and are now asking the EDC to change the zoning laws to fit these developments. At the Madison and Ashland site, they are asking for at least a four-story building with smaller per unit footprint to accommodate more housing. If that is what Mr. Houseel and the village envision, then we can surely do modeling now to see how the maximum number of units they have drawn into the plan at this parcel would impact the area around it. Why not determine now for a developer that it would fit, using facts and data instead of anecdotal of what could fit? I urge the village to use the Madison Street Corridor TIF money to study how a four-story building with the number of units being proposed by the plan at the corner of Madison and Ashland would impact the traffic next to my home, as well as impact the other village services like our schools. Secondly, I was very frustrated to hear Mr. Graham's comments during the EDC meeting that if I didn't want to live in a commercial district, then I should not have moved where I did. I want to let you know that when I moved into my home, it was a beautiful neighborhood and most assuredly was not a commercial district. It was the village who decided to put my home in the TIF and make it a commercial district, not me or my family or my neighbors. The village made it a commercial district when they decided to make it this area a TIF district. And then Mr. Graham had the gall to blame me, my family, and my neighbors for living there. I think those remarks were disrespectful to an entire community within the village, and I would like an apology. I also that would like a recognition by Mr. Houseel, the EDC, and the Village Board that the decisions being made by them affect River Forest residents and families. Throughout this process, we have been told repeatedly that the Village wants to be a good neighbor, but I have seen very little regard for considering the concerns of the people who live in and around the Village TIF districts for the Village to be a good neighbor. That concludes my remarks from the letter sent on April 10th, but I want to talk a little bit more about tonight's agenda. At the last meeting, the vote to change the zoning regulations was postponed so that the commissioners could do more research. As far as I know, the only additional research that has been provided was a letter from Mr. Houseel dated April 28th that's included in today's meeting packet. I did not see any new information supplied there. It seemed to be the same information that has been supplied in the past. I also want to say that I myself am not diametrically opposed to a four-story building, but I do think that questions should be answered before a vote on the zoning takes place. You may have been discussing this for a year, but I have yet to see any data on supporting these changes. You said you've talked to some developers and they've expressed an interest in some changes, but has there been an actual study done that changes have to be made, or is it just anecdotal? I'd also request that an economic impact and traffic study of our four-story building with more units, what that would be on River Forest. Has there been a study done of how much the additional property taxes brought in by more units would be offset by the use of Village services, and would it be in the best interest of the Village to build a four-story building that doesn't bring in any economy? I asked that in addition to an impact study of Village services, a traffic study be done. At the last meeting, Mr. Graham stated that people are driving less, but do we have any data to support this statement? If 1 or 1.45 cars is needed, okay, but I would like a study done to show that people don't need a two-car spot, and I think that that should be in all of the optional sites that are outlaid in the plan. And finally, I'd like to ask what assurances the Village has that if these regulations are changed, that they would not grant another variance for higher or more dense units. That is something else that has been said, well, we wouldn't do that, but I don't know that that's necessarily true. So I just request that these questions be answered before a vote is taken to change the zoning regulations. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Annette Madden, and I live at 14 Ashland. I'd like to thank you for your time and the opportunity to be heard this evening. I have a couple questions that follow along with what Teresa mentioned and a quick comment. I'm unclear on how the different commissions operate, and I hope that you can clarify the process for me. At the April 5th EDC meeting, several questions, comments, and concerns were expressed by both members of the community and commissioners alike. One question was what was actually being voted on. The consensus at the time was to table the vote till a later date. And I see, I thought I saw that the vote was on the agenda for this evening, but as I relook at it, I don't see that it's actually there. It's just being discussed. So I was wondering, how have the members of the EDC commission arrived at their decision? Does the commission receive communication or the meeting minutes after the prior meeting so that they can address the numerous items that were discussed? Are you communicating with each other, doing your own research, speaking with other residents, other boards, other commissions? What steps have been taken, what has happened between April 5th to May 3rd that affords you the knowledge to vote? And if the purpose of this evening's meeting is to answer those questions, to discuss the proposal of the Village wide zoning change, I respectfully ask you to postpone it until Mr. Wunger is present. as he seemed to have several questions that were left unanswered at the close of the last meeting. Mr. Brangle was not present at the last meeting, and this would offer a chance for the entire commission to be a part of the discussion. Now I'm speaking, so I hope you can answer that question, those questions for me, just a little bit of to go along with Teresa. What has happened between then and now that you have the information you need to make the decision to change the zoning for the village? I'm speaking for my family. This will be kind of short. When I say that we fully support development in the Madison Street TIF, we fully support thinking outside the box. We fully support working together as a community and finding the best possible use for the rare opportunity for development in our community. Many of you, we chose the house we live in. We chose the specific neighborhood, and for among other reasons, the reason we chose this neighborhood was Madison, the establishments, the activity, and the busy part of the town. We live next door to a dental office, near office buildings, across from a couple bars. That's where we chose to live. We did not choose to live in or move to a neighborhood with high densely populated housing. The proposed zoning change would negatively affect our homes and our neighborhood. We have been, to your point, if every development has to apply for a variance, what's the point in changing the zoning? If everyone does it, why don't we continue just to do that? It seems like it would be, and you don't have to answer me now, it just kind of goes along with what you're saying. But so we personally have been fighting for our house for the past 7 years. I know the exact day that I received the letter from the village, and I remember exactly how we felt as we read the devastating information. The letter stated that we were placed into a TIF and that the village would help us with our relocation to a comparable housing in Forest Park or Berwyn. No mention of River Forest, not moving laterally, nothing. They were going to kindly move us while I still had kids in school to Forest Park or Berwyn. Later that same day, our oldest son, Luke, died. So our house, a TIF, or relocating to another suburb no longer seemed important. But since that day, April 15, 2016, we have had a fight, eminent domain, intentional blighting, buildings with exposed asbestos for weeks, policing of proper procedures, while being told over and over what our obligations are, what needs to happen to attract the developer, and what we need to do. So, okay, sure. What does that sound like? That sounds reasonable. What does it look like? Well, so far it looks like whatever will make a select few a profit with absolutely no consideration for the Southside neighborhood, which I believe is the truly affordable housing of River Forest. We have faith that the right development will come along with a development that will both benefit our community while fitting into our neighborhood as opposed to the other way around. So I ask each of you as our voice, as the voice of the entire village, to start the process and say no to the proposed zoning changes, have them apply for a variance, and together we can find a solution. If we want to be good neighbors and we want to find a development, why does it have to be one way and with the rest of the South Side, North Side feeling like they're not heard? So I appreciate your time. I'm sorry that was long, and I just hope that you put a pause on your vote once again. Thank you.
My name is Beth Chang, and I am a resident on the 0100 block of Franklin. Thank you for listening to all our comments, Chairman Brown. I appreciate the comments that you made at the beginning and the context for it all. I'm here again because, as my neighbors have pointed out, it appears that the presentation that was submitted by Halcyon Levine doesn't seem to substantively address the feedback we've shared. There's a slide about developer feedback, but nothing summarizing resident feedback, and basically the proposed zoning code amendments remain the same. There's also no narrative vision or explanations of potential benefits and impacts of different options that we requested. I want to point out that on the village website, the first charge of the Economic Development Commission is to advise the village board on the economic and community impact of potential developments. This means the commission has a responsibility to consider not just economic potential, but also community impact. And I think that's what we are not hearing, right? We're not hearing that our feedback is being incorporated. And everything you outlined about the process that's happened to date has been about the how to attract the development side of the equation, which is obviously very important. But we need to hear how the community impact part is being incorporated. So I'll try to be, you know, expeditious, but I do have some things to go through. So there's four main points I want to make. First, there's still no rush for the commission to make a recommendation to the board tonight. Just because the same proposal has been brought up several times doesn't mean it's time to just accept it. Second, I want to reiterate what my neighbors have said, that amendments to the zoning code along all of Madison don't seem necessary or prudent, certainly not without more thorough analysis of the potential benefits and community impacts. I understand what you said, Chairman Brown, about, you know, the charge that was laid forth in the comprehensive plan, but we're not, I guess we're not seeing, we know that Mr. Housiel and his firm, you know, have a stellar reputation, and we would love to see that analysis instead of a few cryptic bullet points, right? If, explain it to us, persuade us. We too are open to listening, but we've not seen anything that quantifies, like, I won't go into it because others have said it, but what are the actual potential benefits? What are the impacts? How are you going to address those? Like, work with us, you know, respect the questions we're raising and give us some answers so that we can also be open. The third thing is kind of related to that, but I just, instead of trying to evaluate all these hypothetical impacts of changing the code for the entire Madison, where you don't know what might come along in the future, not only for the Madison and Ashland property, but other places, we should be focusing our energy on figuring out how to attract development to that soon-to-be-vacant Lutheran and Family Services property, right? And I'd like to suggest we think creative and collaboratively about that, not just through some general zoning change where somebody might still want to ask for a variance, but can the commission or the village and, you know, with Mr. Housiel's help, organize sessions that include developers, residents, and planners in the same room to develop a vision and brainstorm ideas for that particular parcel? Can the commission look at how to make the variance request process for the commercial district one that somehow eases it for the developer, that collaboratively balances the various interests? If developers know that residents want to work with them, this provides a much more welcoming environment than all this kind of, you know, battles over the general zoning changes. The fourth point I want to make is that if the commission still wants to recommend general zoning amendments, then I ask you to come up with a different approach that balances the developer and the resident interests. Because taken together, the proposed code amendments basically appear to do everything possible to favor developer interests. Increase density, reduce parking requirements, keep current setback requirements, even though you're going to increase height and volume. I've tried to keep an open mind about the specifics and not kind of get into saying, oh, I think it should be this, I think it should be that, because I'm not an expert, and I had hoped to see analysis from the experts, right? But since that's not forthcoming and you might vote on it, please be patient while I just kind of offer thoughts for consideration on some of the specifics. On the height, consider a more modest increase to maybe 40 to 45, which could, I think, still accommodate four stories. The proposed increase to 50 feet includes a 15-foot for first floor and 11 feet for the other floors. My own home has 9-foot and 8-foot ceilings that are more than sufficient for me anyway. Second, keep the floor area ratio requirement or explain why its elimination will not lead to other density problems. There's no data shared on what other committees' FAR requirements are. I had to kind of go look it up myself by studying the zoning code around midnight last night to understand it. The FAR limits the size of the building by saying that the amount of floor area you can build is determined by the square footage of the property. So if you eliminate that, you've effectively eliminated one of the controls on the building volume. And the lot area per unit requirement, I guess I would just say maintain something reasonable, right? The proposed figure of 500 to 1,000 square feet of lot area per unit is a huge decrease from the current 2,800 square foot requirement. I'm not saying that that 2,800 square foot requirement shouldn't be looked at, but that's a big drop off. And again, I don't really understand all the implications for density, but taken together, all of these things basically increase density. At the same time, you're saying you're not going to evaluate the setback requirements, right? And again, based on my reading of the code at around midnight last night, it seems to say that a commercial property that abuts a side yard, which is the situation at Madison and Ashland, only requires a 5-foot setback. Well, imagine a 4-foot story building 5 feet away from the side of your home. If you're going to look at increasing density, you need to look at the setback requirements. And the last area is you need to maintain parking requirements that are sufficient to avoid congestion on neighborhood streets. Maybe 1.5 spaces per unit is fine, as Teresa said. We need analysis. We need something to show us that our uneasiness is coming from the fact that there's no analysis and data to back things up. And then I would also request that you remove the drawing that show the cul-de-sac on Ashland, because as far as I can tell, it doesn't relate to the zoning amendment proposals. If it does, because the cul-de-sac is necessary to help developers meet parking requirements, then that needs to be stated explicitly so that the merits of disrupting traffic patterns and taking a public street for that purpose can be openly debated. So I want to close by emphasizing that the residents of this neighborhood, we do want to see development on Madison. We want to work cooperatively to make that a reality. And I hope we can move forward by focusing on finding a solution to the particular problem of the Lutheran and Family Services property. And if we can do that successfully, then maybe that would give us like a template or something for, okay, now we feel comfortable, maybe some broader changes. So thank you for your consideration, your volunteer service on this important commission.
Very much.
Renee Duba.
Good evening, hello again. I'm Renee DuBaclancy. I live on the 0100 block of Franklin. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you, and thank you for serving on this commission. I appreciate the hard work and that you do and the difficult decisions that you face in your endeavors to keep and grow our village's economic vibrancy. I'm here to reiterate my opposition to Mr. Housel's recommendation for zoning changes in an attempt to attract a developer for the 7600 block of Madison Street. We've been told that our current C2 zoning code presents a barrier to potential development, despite contrary evidence. I believe the real issue at hand is that you're trying to manifest the equivalent of a bull market type of investment in an objectively worsening bear market environment by throwing out zoning incentives to potential developers without regard to public consensus or community impact. We are being told that a larger, higher density project is the only thing that will pencil out, right, and be profitable for developers. But in reality, in this rapidly changing economic environment, the village is really facing growing competition against increasing numbers of projects that are far less risky and far more profitable. Specifically as office and residential rental buildings become distressed. There's a growing number of distressed properties that, frankly, a high-quality, A-plus credit-rated developer with capital on hand and access to lending would rather go after than a 9/10 of an acre shallow lot that is empty. Your efforts to make dramatic changes to the zoning code make me fear that we might make a grave mistake. I worry that if we do attract bids in this environment, it might be an unreliable developer who lacks the financial resources or access to capital to really go after those more profitable distressed property opportunities. So I recently learned about a concept called gentle density. I don't know if you've heard about that. But like Beth, you know, at midnight looking, trying to educate ourselves about real estate development, because I'm a professional investor, but I'm not in real estate. The concept, which is backed by empirical evidence, is that by taking a more incremental approach to density increases in new development rather than massive ones, will actually enhance the neighboring property values. It would provide more affordable housing stock and streamline the development process by more easily gaining resident buy-in and approval. So if you consider the current C2 code allows for a 300% increase in density as compared to our immediately adjacent R2 residential zone. So specifically, the R2 zone permits 5 units or 5 dwellings per acre. C2 code currently permits 15 dwellings per acre. Mr. Housel's presentation erroneously shows it as 17, but it's really 15. But that's a pretty big jump in density, right? I mean, 300% density adjacent to our backyard. And a 300% density increase is currently provided by code is exactly the definition of gentle density. Yet Mr. Housel still is recommending an increase in permitted density of between 860 to 1700% over the adjacent R2 zone. In an area you yourselves recognize as an already busy commercial area, we're talking about 15 dwellings per acre. Now we're talking about 43 to 87 dwellings on this little acre, even after our objection. The changes being recommended essentially take the current C3 zoning, many of the elements of the current C3 zoning along North Avenue, a primary artery, and overlay them onto 2-lane Madison Street, a minor roadway. It feels like Mr. Housel is recommending you try and sail a small ship on a very stormy sea. Why not wait until the environment is more accommodating, right, for a smaller ship, a smaller development? I mean, Chair Brown, you said the revenue doesn't really matter. So there's no urgency there. So I found this article, and it's called Practice Gentle Density. And this was recently published in February by the American Planning Association. Have you seen it? It's his. That's right. It's actually very good. I'm glad that he shared it with you. He did not share it with us, but I found it. And I would just like to close by reading, you know, a little bit of his article from the section entitled Public Involvement. Zoning ordinance reform to accommodate and encourage development should include robust public involvement. Time spent at the beginning of reform process to build community consensus often pays dividends in project adoption and implementation. Without it, residents push back and reforms fail. Mr. Housel is not practicing what he's preaching. In fact, he's ignoring us. I am not in support of any zoning changes for the C2 zone along Madison Street.
Thank you very much.
Frida Pantos?
Good evening. How is everybody tonight? All right. Okay, I'm just going to read from my little script here, and then if I think of anything, I'll tuck it in. Anyway, I am still stuck on this rental unit concept from the get-go. Now, maybe I should ask you right up front, is it a rental unit or not?
There's no development whatsoever on Madison Avenue that's being proposed. None. And 100%. End of sentence.
Okay. And zoning codes don't speak to whether it's an owner-occupied or rental unit.
Okay. Then we're going to qualify this statement.
Okay. No problem. You're doing
so just kind of work with me here. I think you'll get the gist of what I'm trying to say. All right. So we'll start the first statement. Anyway. Fundamentally, most all character descriptions of our village prize the multi-generational dream of residing in the village, the community neighborhood feel we all enjoy, owning a home, raising a family, supporting a school system, kept this village a gem. rental units echo a temporary change in this housing market that may fit into today's changing economy. However, I believe flooding the market with rentals, which are not family suited, takes us away from a vested community to a transient community. We ultimately lose this unique charm, trading it for a watered-down version of a big city. There are millennials who cannot afford this village unless passed down through generation. Decent housing accommodations for such a group vested in this village might be a novel consideration, encouraging residency, a concept they seem to have embraced in targeting retired village homeowners with the development on Lake and Lathrop. Living on the 300 block of Lathrop for 40 years has given us a bird's eye view of Forest Park rental units. As homeowners, perhaps the last thing you want is living across units that are constantly changing hands. The landscape of a neighborhood community in constant flux creates a very uneasy feeling. An unknown, disconnected, immediate community around you, which contradicts all that we cherish. Variances should be an explored option. All these zoning questions are directly related to a structure we know nothing about. Lifting the cap on zone restrictions invites unlimited possibilities. We need to define what we want as a community. A developer would want these parameters defined before he begins the project anyway. So let's ask that question ahead of time. I'm not standing here as someone who opposes change. However, there are so many wonderful aspects of this village we cannot afford to lose. We should recognize what defines this village and sets it apart from others. We should focus on drawing vested future generations instead of jeopardizing an exodus. So I guess when you get to the point of talking to a developer, does the developer come to you and say, what are you looking for, before he even begins the project? So if that dialogue happens and the developer is asking you, what do you as a village want, then I'm assuming you must have some concept of what you want to go up. I think when you have an idea of what that concept is, we need to know as soon as possible. I mean, I think it's clear as could be. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, if not to start a dialogue back and forth here, because I'll be here forever, but on some of these, again, I'd be happy to stick around afterwards and answer some of those questions directly.
You know, a few folks came in after the meeting started. Does anyone else in the audience want to add public comment? Anyone on Zoom want to address the commission?
Well, if there's no more public comments, do you want to go ahead and...
We'll move on to the approval of the meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chamber of Commerce update, Executive Director Liz Holt was not able to attend tonight. I hear that the Health and Wellness Fair was a large success. I was not able to attend, but it sounded like it was a great success for the chamber.
Yeah, almost too much of a success. They had more people than they know what to do with, so that's great.
And she's resigning within the month.
She's resigning.
The end of June, I believe, is the...
So she's been great. She's been a wonderful partner, and we wish her success, and hopefully we can have her replacement and when they come in. There might be a transition period there, but she's been great. And the chamber's been fantastic. So it's a great relationship there. Number five, just on the Madison Street and North Avenue corridor redevelopment plan. So, John, probably a good time. Did you have a few statements? That'd be.
All right. So, for the record, John Houseel, Village's urban planning consultant for about 24 years or so, and resident for that same amount of time. A couple of things. One of the residents questioned the process, so I'll sort of go through that now. And Matt, if you want to chime in on this, please do. So, there was questions about the process moving quickly or too quickly, about not enough public engagement. Someone said I was not living up to my words. I take that to heart because I present about this stuff nationally, and we are doing a lot of public outreach. I'll address that specifically. The village could just refer this matter directly to the ZBA and just have a public hearing, and they could have a meeting. People could show up, and they could vote on it. But the village decided not to do that, and we were part of that decision process. To go to the EDC first. They didn't have to do this, but they wanted the EDC to take the first shot at beginning to frame the discussion. As part of the process, we recommended that we have neighborhood meetings because it wasn't initially proposed, so we could hear directly from residents. And again, this process is not to make a recommendations to the board. It's to identify things that need to be considered by the board so that they could defer it and refer it to the ZBA so they could conduct the required public hearings with the public. So this is the beginning of a process. It is not the end. It is not being rushed. This is additional public engagement over what is required or what is typically done by the village or most communities before it even goes into the legal public hearing process with the Zoning Board of Appeals. So I take to heart very much providing opportunities for the public to speak. We had a neighborhood meeting here, a neighborhood meeting for North Avenue residents, and robust discussion at several Economic Development Commission meetings. So there's not been a lack of neighborhood input. And that's important, as Kyler has said, the chairman has said. It doesn't mean that the recommendations for considerations reflect everything that was heard. That's not the same as providing an opportunity for input. So I don't want people to think that because the recommendations may be different than what we've heard, that you weren't heard and there weren't opportunities for engagement. Those two things aren't the same, but I understand the need for public participation. I'm a huge advocate and instructor on public participation. Have probably facilitated thousands of meetings across hundreds of communities and take it to heart. So, but that's not to say, and sometimes when things are discussed, they're not easy conversations to have, and recommendations for consideration, which is what this is, doesn't always reflect what you hear from residents, and that's standard, and sometimes that's unavoidable. So, but I just wanted to sort of clear the record on that. But again, this is not the beginning of the process, or the end of the process, it's the very beginning. And there'll be more public testimony and opportunity for discussion going forward. So I just wanted to clarify that. So it's not a quick process. There's extensive public engagement, and I take to heart very much. The general density, I'm glad you read that. Somebody's reading it. That's good. That publication, it's a national publication called Zoning Practice, and it goes out to professional planners, thousands and thousands and thousands across the United States, and even some plan commission and city councils that subscribe to it and get it as well. And it takes relevant and current zoning topics that communities are facing all over the country. And what general density is and what that article is about, it's not about commercial properties. It's about that properties across the cities across the country are struggling with trying to provide an increase in housing availability and an increase in housing affordability. And a lot of these communities are 100% built out with single-family residential detached zoning. And the general notion of gentle density is to go into these established single-family neighborhoods, either in them or on the fringes of them, and to introduce things like duplexes, triplexes, small apartments, row houses, accessory dwelling units, which the village discussed with the ZBA a few months ago, to try to provide increased gentle density increases in residential neighborhoods. So it's an important thing. A lot of communities are addressing the notion of gentle density. River Forest approached the ADU discussion of gentle densities over the last several months directly with the ZBA and public hearings. I think ultimately the ZBA did not recommend it at this time. But that publication, that national publication that I authored with Jackie Wells in our office, she's leads our zoning practice. She's fantastic. Was about gentle density increases to single-family residential traditional neighborhoods. So not... not exactly applicable to a commercial site on a commercial corridor. A little bit different application. But the emphasis in that communities are struggling to find increased opportunities for more residential options. That is true with what we're proposing here. So I thought that was an important thing. And some people said it's the same recommendations over and over. The majority of this process has been conducted with the Economic Development Commission, not with me, but by some of my staff, as they've explored zoning options and development visualization. And I put on the presentation, and when this goes to the village board, the presentation isn't part of the recommendation. That was exploratory for thinking purposes. That was just put in there because it was used as to facilitate discussion, but that's not part of the recommendation. So the cul-de-sac, that's just food for thought. All the 3D renderings we went back and put on there, this is only for discussion purposes. Only these are not proposed developments. These are not proposed site plans. That's been amended. But when this goes to the village board, that PowerPoint doesn't go to the village board. That was just to facilitate discussion. The recommendations will just be the recommendations. And at the last meeting, as opposed to taking action, the EDC decided that they wanted another month to think about it and then talk about it again. So no direction was given as to specific additional research or specific analysis that was to be conducted. And there were recommendations for consideration at that meeting. And they said, well, let's have another meeting to discuss it. So those were brought forward because there was no direction given from the EDC to change any of those. So it wasn't an ignoring of what we heard from the public. As the consultant, I take my direction from the EDC when they hear from the public. So the recommendations that were brought forward were just that. They were brought forward from the last recommendation because there was no direction to change any of those, but to bring them forward this evening for discussion. And they could very well be all changed tonight. They could say, we don't like this one, get rid of it. We like that one, keep it in. Or we like this one, but change it. So anything and everything could happen. My job is to facilitate the process, so I have to bring them forward. At some point, you have to put pen to paper, right? You got to say, okay, here's what it is to work from. It could all change, but this is what we're going to work with from now on. So you're not just talking about it on and on. So that was my job last time, was to summarize where we were in the process and put it into a memorandum, highlighting all the different things that was discussed and summarizing the recommendations to facilitate, again, a dialogue at the EDC. So what comes out of this process isn't my recommendations. It's not my firm's recommendations. It is the Economic Development Commission's recommendations for the village board to consider the matter, to therefore then recommend the matter and refer it to the Zoning Board of Appeals, who will then conduct a public hearing and a series of public meetings to discuss it, to come up with their own recommendations. They then make a recommendation to the village board. The village board will then have public meetings to consider it, and if they want to take action, they can. It's months and months and months, several meetings, lots of opportunities for discussion. So not rushed, not quick, and we're not shutting down public testimony. So I just want to be real clear about that. I think that's important because I am a firm believer in residents speaking up. Not everybody agrees on things. Community conversations are often very hard conversations. We always try to have them with respect. We listen to people. I've talked with several of you after the meeting or before the meeting. You know, I understand people get very passionate about where they live. They love it. It's their home. Fully get it. And would never deny anybody the opportunity to present their opinion on things or undermine their opinion because I may professionally disagree or something like that. So when I'm here, my hat is as a professional planner. I can also unpack a little bit about why we're doing this. And I think the context you talked about, the comprehensive plan recommends it. I've been working on development in this village for about 25 years or so and have participated in, I think, all but one development review board development application. St. Vincent's, Concordia, Dominican, Town Center Phase 2, Panera, the Sheridan on Harlem Avenue, the Towns Lumber Company site, you name it, everything I've had to review, comment on, was part of the discussions. I didn't make the ultimate decisions on any of them. That's not my job. From planning perspective, I had to work on or work with the village, the development review board, and the developer on all those proposals. And I believe, with the exception of maybe one, any mixed-use or residential component development required requests for height, density, FAR exceptions. Some of them pretty extensive, like doubling density or 30 feet or 25 feet plus in height. So in order to accommodate a lot of the development the village has seen, almost everyone has needed variations and exceptions, and some of them pretty significant. And when we look at doing zoning amendments across the country, one of the first things we do is to say, we're going to go back and look at all your variations. And if 90% of your variations are for one type of thing and you always grant them, then change the code, because it requires applicants to spend money, time from the village board and the zoning board of appeals to have public meetings and public hearings. Residents have to come out. And if they always get approved, then make the change in the code so that it reasonably expects and accommodates something that is always expected and always approved. So the fact that over 25 years or so, every development has needed exceptions, the village board said, has said several times, as has the DRB, the plan commission and village board, do we need to take a look at our zoning ordinance if every time we approve something, we can only do it if we give exceptions? So maybe we should look proactively at our code. And part of the rationale why is because residents come to those meetings to voice concern and or support for development. And what they will often say is the maximum height in this district is 50 feet. The developer is proposing 77. Why don't we hold them to the 50? Why are we even considering this? And when the board says, well, we think 50 is just not realistic as a starting point, then residents say, then why is that our code? So it doesn't telegraph a sense of what we would call fair certainty. If the code says 30 feet, developers come in and ask for 50, and the village accepts the 50, then the village has no fair expectation as to what it should approve. The developer has no fair expectation or reasonable fair certainty as to what they can build. And residents are only guided by a code that's antiquated and never held up. So a code that is not aligned with market realities or the practice of approval doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't serve the developer. It doesn't serve the Development Review Board or ZBA. It doesn't serve the public elected officials. And it doesn't serve the developer, because everybody kind of knows it's not realistic. So, well, let's see what we can propose and what gets approved. But the residents have no guidance. So this is why after 20 some odd years, the village said, time out, let's step back and proactively look at the TIF districts, C2 and the C3 up on North Avenue and Madison Street, to see if we should proactively change the zoning as opposed to always changing it on the fly in response to a development and residents ask why we're not sticking to the zoning, when maybe that's not the zoning we should stick to. So that's the reason, whether you agree or not, I want you to understand sort of that's why the village got to this point. They don't want every development to be run a flag up the pole and see what happens. They want to give some level of what they call fair certainty, so everybody has a reasonable expectation as to what's going to be proposed and what might be approved. And when your zoning is totally misaligned, it doesn't provide fair certainty for any party. And it's frustrating, right? So it's frustrating for the developer, the village, and residents. So that's why we're here. So whether you agree or don't, that's why we're here. And in the last comprehensive plan that was done a few years ago, River Forest Forward, it's online, you can see it. One of the recommendations that the plan commission and the village board was insistent on, there was actually even a lot of careful wording at the board level to get it right. And it was to examine the commercial districts and the zoning to potentially accommodate taller buildings or better mixed use or more residential. We need to get it right. But there was a specific recommendation that was put in there by the officials to say, we know we have to proactively look at this and we may have to change it. So that's why we're here. This isn't willy-nilly. It wasn't driven by me, but it was a couple of decades worth that led us to this evening or this process. And again, if the EDC is so inclined to go down the list of recommended considerations that the board ought to refer then to the ZBA. Then another public hearing process starts. Then after that one finishes, a whole other public meeting starts with the village board. So not being rushed. I know sometimes people might think it is. It's not being rushed. We're not limiting the opportunity for public input. It's just the beginning of a process that's going to be several months more and several meetings more. So I think it's important to not lose sight of. The other thing is sort of the level of analysis that can be done with zoning versus development. And there may be some disagreement on this, and I know other people on the board have experience with retail development and other types of development and financing. But doing things like fiscal impact or traffic analysis on development that isn't proposed is really, really difficult. In fact, it's typically not done. That level of analysis, for people who know, when a specific development is proposed, in this village, one of the requirements is a developer has to demonstrate traffic is being accommodated and will not be detrimental to the neighborhood. The developer has to demonstrate that parking is being accommodated and will not impact the surrounding residential neighborhoods. They have to do the impact of the financial economic impact on surrounding residential properties or other properties. There's a whole host of things developers have to do in order to even submit a proposal for consideration. And before they even submit, most people don't know, we have these technical review meetings where it is me, administration, police chief, fire chief, finance department, public works, engineering, the tree people, the water people, every village department sits around here and rips developments apart and says, this is not good enough. This doesn't meet fire thing. This is a safety problem. The water isn't good enough. Stormwater engineering, is it whatever? So before it ever gets to a public hearing, developments have been scrutinized before they even get to that level. And if they don't meet the minimum requirement for application submittal, they don't get slotted for a public hearing. So these are things developers have to do when they submit it. But is it a restaurant on the ground floor? Is it, you know, one of the notions I heard several years ago they're floating around was a sort of a, this high-tech, sort of a modular, really high-end furniture showroom that might have one employee. You'd come in and look at all the stuff. You'd order what you'd like, and it'd be delivered to your house. It was a real cool showroom. Would it be a retail restaurant? Would it be retail? Would it be? So we don't know what the traffic impact or the parking impact or the fiscal impact is, or even a commercial use, because what that commercial use is an infinite number of things. We don't know. So those impacts are calculated when a development is proposed, not when zoning is put in place. So that, again, that's why that level of analysis isn't done at the zoning end. It is done when something is proposed. So we can say you're open to development. Most of your residents have said that. The village is as well. Doesn't mean we're going to accept everything that walks through the door, because this village does not. It really holds developers to a high standard. That is when all the specifics are proposed. I did see the letter that, or the letter to the editor of the opinion that was submitted to the Wednesday Journal as well. And I actually went through, I just thought this was kind of interesting. I went through and there were 7 points that they said they, that residents said that they wanted to see. So I just want to go through these 7 because I honestly think that all 7 are being done. And let me just explain through these. So take more time before making recommendations to the board. But this isn't a recommendation for change. This is a recommendation of things that should be considered by the ZBA so they can make a recommendation. So it says take more time before recommendations are made. There's going to be a whole public hearing process and a whole bunch more meetings before recommendations are made. So that first thing, take more time. It's going to take a lot more time. That's baked into the process. So that's done. Consider development-specific variation requests. That has to be done in this village. When someone proposes a development, it is development-specific variations, or for this, it'll be called the site development allowance, same thing. So the number 2 request, as stated in the paper, was consider development-specific variances. That is exactly what this village does. That will not go away. Recommendation that neighborhood concerns be considered going forward. They will be. So Matt was with me at the meeting when we conducted the meeting here and with the North Avenue resident. Matt summarized all of those, the feedback, and that was given to the EDC. So they're fully aware of all the comments that were made from the public. So the EDC has considered all those comments, knows all those comments. So they read all the comments from that meeting in addition to all the comments you had here. So public input is being considered. What a recommendation ultimately is may not reflect or be consistent with the public opinion, but it doesn't mean those considerers, they aren't being considered. So up till this point, they have been. And again, going forward by the Zoning Board of Appeals public hearing, they will be. And then again, at the Village Board, they will be. So consider public opinion and neighborhood opinion. That will be now, and it will be at the next 2 phases of this process. Written vision with multiple options. The vision for this community is the comprehensive plan, River Forest Forward. And it talks about a vision for the community, a vision for the commercial districts, goals and objectives, specific recommendations. The 10 to 20 year vision for this village is officially the River Forest Comprehensive Plan, River Forest Forward document. So that is the document that put forth the charge to the EDC and the village to undertake this exercise. So the vision for the corridors is in that adopted document. And I think it's 3 years ago it was adopted by the village board. So I think all the current trustees were trustees that voted in the plan 3 years ago. I believe they were still all board members. So that's being done. And in terms of including multiple options, there's an infinite number of options, so you can't go through the vision process of what every potential development option could be. It'd just be too challenging. So it articulates and defines the character of development, along the corridors as well as the rest of the village. So the official vision does exist, and it is in the comprehensive plan. So that number, that's the number four thing. The fifth one said, provide for commercial space. I think that may be charge one of the EDC, right, is to try to get economic development in the village in an appropriate and river forest way. So we agree with that comment that was in the paper, number five, about provide commercial space. We need more and better versions of commercial in the village. And I think that is a charge of this committee. And any development going forward, that's clearly something the village would like to see. So five is, right now, that's official village policy, is to see more commercial space. That was the fifth thing. Sixth thing said, recommend zoning that is highest and best use of the site in the surrounding area. Attorneys like to use highest and best use. I don't. And appraisers like to use highest and best use. I don't know what that means. What your version of highest and best use for commercial property is going to be a lot different from somebody proposing development on that property. So highest and best use is a tough thing to pin down. Like, what is the highest and best use for, let's say, Lutheran Family Services? Well, the best use of it while it was functioning was Lutheran Family Services. They were there. It was working for them. It was operational. That was the best use of that property for that organization. What an adjacent neighbor might think is the best use of that property is different from a developer who wants the highest and best use. So highest and best use is tough. We need to look at development potential, and that's what that is. So I'm not exactly sure what highest and best use means in this term for a site or surrounding area. To us, it is it land use? Is it compatible? Does it meet the multiple objectives of the village in terms of revenue, sense of place, character, success, market viability? All those other things. So that's sort of what highest and best use is. Highest and best use is basically governed by the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan working together to official documents. And the last one said the village should consider neighbors' concerns when reviewing specific development proposals. Well, that absolutely takes place. So the seventh one is the way the village always does things. And you'll know if you've come to a development. The development review board holds public hearings. And I've been in meetings where development is proposed and this place is packed. I've even seen it spill out into the hallway. When CVS went in, we had to move it to the Willard School Auditorium. If you remember that, it was absolutely packed. We did a couple more up at Concordia at one of their rooms because people wouldn't fit here. So whenever development is proposed in River Forest, it is a public hearing. And another thing River Forest does that other villages don't is, and I put that in the code years ago and changed it, was in order to even apply, you have to have a neighborhood meeting first. You can't apply for a development until you can say, I conducted a neighborhood meeting. These are all the people that were in attendance. These are all the people we notified. Here's what we talked about. Here's what they said. You have to have that to even submit for development in this village. You have to talk to the neighbors before you can even apply. It's one of the few villages that does that. So this idea of considering neighborhood input when specific developments are proposed, it's been that way for as long as I can remember. We've made it more robust, and that's not going anyway anytime soon. So if anybody proposes anything on that site or anywhere else and you live by it, you will be legally noticed. There will be a public hearing that usually lasts several meetings over several months, and then the recommendation goes to the board, and again, you can speak then again at the board. So I think I would agree with all seven of the things that were in the Wednesday Journal as conditions by the residents. I would agree with all seven of them. And I would say the village and this process and the process for development does all seven of these. I sincerely do. So again, that just goes over a little bit of context as to why we're here, whether people agree with it or not, it's why we're here, sort of the notion of fair certainty. And I think, you know, Commissioner Wahlfeld said it good last time. What we're not looking to do is track A and approve a specific development. We're looking for ideas. We're looking for proposals. And we can pick and choose what's best. We want to see the ideas. Right now, we're not even getting the ideas. So that provides a little history as to why we're here, context as to the process, a little bit on what general density is and is not, and what the public input process is now and going forward. So I don't know who wrote the letter to the village, but the seven things you identified, I would agree with that. And I think we are doing exactly these seven things as worded in the paper. So I would commend the seven things that were said because I think we're spot on.
That's great. Thanks, John.
Yep.
Appreciate the time and going over that. That's so helpful, I think, even as a refresher course to some of the committee members, hopefully to the audience on the process here. Again, this is not going to be a vote to approve the zoning. not what we're doing here, or for some development that's by some of your residences. That's not at all what we're doing here. We're being tasked by the River Forest Forward, I couldn't think of the name of it, for recommendations for considerations to zoning change. There are far more opportunities to oppose any of this. And when development comes in, as you heard John say, there's going to be far more opportunities at that point. I'll be there. You know, if it's not what we, I think as a resident or a force, if it's not something that we're people are for, then there's going to be opposition to that. And so I just want to make sure everyone's aware of what's taking place here. It's not a zoning change approval that we're doing here. We don't have that authority. As John said, it goes to the board, goes back to the ZBA, then back to the board, public hearing. That's all on the zoning change level. On the development level, there is going to be, trust me, a lot of opportunities to participate in that discussion. So, anyone else on the committee? Anything to add? I feel like I'm doing all the time. John's just talking than I've ever done. I'm tripping over my words over here, but.
I'll make a couple of comments. As a volunteer member of this commission, in which I was asked to serve on this, just, you know, the ask of me was, you know, lend your expertise, you know, to help us understand what could help invite commercial development, because that's what this commission is about. But we do not approve developments, and I'll repeat, even though it's been repeated over and over again, there really is no proposed development here. And I appreciate hearing all the feedback. I'm a resident here, you know, lived here 20 years, raised my kids here, so I have the same concerns that you do. I also live on a fringe. I live in Bonnie Bray in the 1400 block. I live kind of on a fringe street across from a very large multi-unit development. So, I can understand what could happen and couldn't. You know, actually, we have no issue with it. Never had. But one of the things, I heard a lot of things, but the one thing I didn't hear from anybody is, let's just leave it as is. Let's just leave that property to sit there vacant. And because that's certainly not going to benefit the village or the residents who have said, what I did hear is a lot of you said you wanted to see some development there. And so my experience, I work in commercial development and retail. I don't work for a developer. I work for retailers. And having done this for over 30 years, I sort of understand how they think and why they want to go to one place and why they wouldn't want to go to another. And they rely on developers. And they rely on developers to build things that are attractive and affordable. And so I see this proposed change to our zoning as something that we can do to attract developers to at least propose something, because it's so risky as developers. I'm just, again, over time, over all my years of doing this, it's so risky for developers that nobody wants to rely on a variance. It's money for architects and designers and engineers, and takes time to submit to villages and go through and sit through meetings like this and get public hearings. And so having to only rely on getting a variance for something is so challenging that it's going to limit us, in my opinion. It's going to limit us from just getting ideas proposed. I would hope that I've been educated through these meetings, and I hope that you have as well, that nothing, if we even made these zoning changes, would guarantee that some big building would go up over four stories, or it just, there's no real guarantee of that. But the hope is that we'd start to see more proposed development than the very, very little that we've seen in the last few years. Now, that's my thought.
Yeah, I think with that, the more proposals, again, we can find that more unique development that would suit people's needs. And it's not our purview to find that development. This would naturally happen. I'd like to vote, I think, probably on.
I have a comment. Number one, I'd like to apologize to anyone who was offended by my comments about the location of real estate. But on a personal note, I lived for 17 years less than a block from North Avenue, and I know what choosing the location really means, particularly when you have a lot more truck traffic and than anything will occur on Madison in terms of sheer volume and noise level. But again, I apologize. I observed in the paper today a letter with eight comments. Number one, government operates at a snail's pace. Right, Matt? Thank you. And that's at full speed, snail's pace.
Frustratingly so.
This stuff has been bounced around for months. Maybe we didn't broadcast it enough and stand on the corner and wave a flag, but there's nothing happening overnight. And a lot of the comments, which are definitely of significance for the homeowners and for the whole village, is let's just put it this way. A development review board, and I spent 8.5 years on the village board, and I went through three development reviews, which were months and months and months in process. And a lot of consideration was done and a lot of adjustments were done. Town Center 1, the condo movement, my wife, who was also a trustee at a different time. It was interesting. CVS was a condemned project by the people, the neighbors. I mean, it was just outrageous. And I lived a block and a half from CVS. And neighbors were screaming and saying, you can't do this. And it ended up, they bermed the neighbor to the south and put tall plants in addition to what the plan development required to make the neighbor happy. On the east side, they built fence and set back more. A lot of things happen where initially you think the world is coming to an end if they're going to do this. It takes forever to get these things done. I understand your frustrations, and believe me, you'll be frustrated a lot more as this process lingers on. I mean, that's just how government moves, and sometimes when the board gets recommendations, it goes in an opposite direction from what the recommendations are, and that's why we elect the village board. Again, stressing what Chairman Brown said, we have nothing on the table. It is so hard to get any developer to invest more than a phone call once they find out what our zoning requirements are. We're not, you know, an attraction for developers right now. I mean, that's just the fact of life. Across the street, we're getting next to nothing. On Madison, we're getting next to nothing. All the villages paying for the lack of real estate taxes, that the village owns that property right now. And no, there's no return to all of the residents, not just the neighbors, the immediate neighbors. So we have a community concern to be proactive on being realistic. Every plan development comes in the past, always wanted more. That was an absolute given. Higher, bigger, less, you know, on the setbacks. And it was just wrangled through a lengthy process with a lot of input from the residents to then get matters resolved in an appropriate manner to get a conclusion to a project. So I basically said my piece.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, I've lived in River Forest for kind of over 20 years. All the points that were, and you know, community impact has been considered. It's really kind of been part of the process. One of the things I look at are, you know, the zoning kind of regulations kind of, you know, working as intended. And if we're not getting the number of proposals because of our zoning, if there are variances for every proposal that's being approved, I think it's something that we have to consider and take a look at, because I really do believe to meet the objectives of everyone, we need to get the broadest number of proposals possible, then we need to pick the best ones And then also, I really believe in the integrity of kind of the River Force, the approval process. Everything's going to be fully vetted. The process is going to be very, very rigorous. And so I think there will be plenty of opportunities for public comment to look at traffic, look at drain on city services, our village services. So all of that is just kind of going to be embedded, you know, in the process. But we have to level the playing field, and we can't limit the number of viable proposals because I think it works counter to our overall interest. We don't want to be, you know, the developers of last resort choice for, you know, viable projects given the community, given what we have to offer. And I think as I said, nothing has been proposed, and this is the first step in a very long, you know, process. So it's something that we take seriously, but I think everything that people are mentioning.
I might just want to add one thing.
Great. Thank you.
Two things. We're all aware of what's happening in the banking industry related to real estate. I doubt that there is in the last 30 years that I can think of, there's only been one developer who was self-funded on a planned development, Taxman. He was self-funded, but he also got a couple million from the TIF, but he had his own money to complete the project. Everybody else had a financial institution backing him up. The likelihood that a bank today would put a speculative project and finance it new would be beyond slim. Speaking as a banker, you're shaking your head with agreeing with me. So I think that's really an important thing to realize, that if the village board tomorrow agreed to all whatever changes might occur, nothing's going to happen right away. It's just not going to happen. It can't, unless a developer comes in with their own big checkbook and says, I can do this, and they're agreeable to whatever our terms and conditions happen to be in the village. And that's not real likely to happen.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I really do think that they're all valid points that are being made by the village. And from the letters, I 100% agree with them. Again, all of us are River Forest residents. Obviously, we all have plans on being here forever. We love River Forest, so we wouldn't want to see anything. We are not getting the pick of the litter when it comes to development opportunities right now. We're trying to change that so that we can have the developer that comes in and says, yeah, I get it. I get River Forest. I get the uniqueness. I get what you're looking for. Here's what we can make work. We know what's going to be approved, you know, things of that nature. We're just not getting it the way that our current zoning is set up. And it's not so that we can have the developer make a ton of money. That's not the goal here at all. The goal is so that we can have the most opportunities for the development that fits our needs, that we can listen to so that people are listened to. Whether that means, you know, I think someone said at least four stories. That's absolutely, it's not at least four stories or anything like that. If someone's able to come in and put together a development that makes sense. There were some really cool projects that were just being floated around that people were interested in that I think would have been kind of neat. We want those unique development opportunities for River Forest because of the process. So we know how rigorous that's going to be. I think there is more opportunity for village involvement and village questioning at the zoning board approvals, you know, certainly at the development. I would argue that our task as this committee right now is simply to put recommendations for consideration to the zoning board. That's what I think we've done and spent quite some time doing it. And there still needs to be some kinks worked out. I'm not sure that happens at this committee. I'd like to, if no one else that has anything.
I did want to express my gratitude for everyone coming out. I definitely learned from you all speaking this meeting and the one before. I want to make sure that we are addressing concerns related to having questions answered. And I have been taking copious notes both on the questions and the answers that we have provided. So not just the people in the room can hear it, but the people that aren't in the room can have the information from the source that is, you know, very clear and transparent, as we talked about, Kyler, as you mentioned at the beginning of the meeting. So I am happy to start that document if that is something we could put on the website, and if that is something that is a companion to whatever goes to the zoning board, if things are ending here and then it moves along. But I do think it's important to have the information, the process, and it be clearly outlined so that residents can have a clear picture even if they can't attend meetings.
I think that's great. And I, on top of that, if there's people, there's questions that want that people want to have answered outside of the ones that were brought up here, we could add that sort of as an FAQ, you know, a little bit of background and an FAQ, because we want to be 100% transparent as possible. Hopefully that's coming through. If not, again, willing to sit here afterwards and have conversations. Can't speak for all the committee members, but I have no life.
Kyler, it's
with that. Whoa.
Hey, can you guys, I apologize. Tim Brangle, how are you? I want to just add a couple quick comments, and it's something to consider along those same lines that we've done it before where we put forth recommendations with qualifications for further analysis by those that really do that. Again, with the limitations acknowledged with, that John mentioned, that some of this stuff is really dependent on development-specific schemes. But maybe that's an option, too, of saying this is our best guess at some improvements, areas of improvements in terms of the zoning that then get taken up by, you know, the ZBA and others that are probably more well-versed in it. So that's an option, and maybe that's part of what is being proposed too in terms of a letter or some follow-up with notes and facts. I would reiterate, I'm in the industry quite a bit, and their development is, many cities are going through this, so we're not alone. There are many areas and villages and communities that are have no development opportunities. They're maxed out, and you know they're looking for ways to increase the economic activity, the vitality, and all that goes hand in hand with, you know, how do you attract development? Many cities are going through zoning review. They're going through incentive reviews. They're going through everything to try to attract development. And I think there is a misconception that the big bad developer, and we've experienced that, but a lot of the developers are taking the risk and are not reaping a ton of reward for it. And I think it's a difficult proposition, particularly that we're in, where we have very limited opportunities for development. On top of that, we have very restrictive sort of, you know, zoning that's out of date and hurdles to development that, as others have said, you know, we're not even getting the first call from a development entity. So our charge as an Economic Development Commission is to help, you know, foster that, I think, in a positive way, but in a sensitive way. And I, again, I reiterate, I the comments have been great. I welcome all those. I question in terms of our recommendation forward, I think we absolutely have to do something to the zoning. Are we tasked with setting the finite rules and regulations that govern envelope and all the things that I'd love to get involved in, but I'm not sure if that's under our, that's under our purview. And so I kind of question what we would put forth and whether we qualify some of that to say this is best handled, not to punt or kick it down, but this is a process, as John alluded to, that goes through many different iterations to get it to the exact, you know, ordinance or whatever the change may be. So, again, thanks everybody for the comments, and I think we have Kyle. I don't know our next step on this. Maybe you could articulate a little bit better.
Well, no, I think that was fantastic, and I was thinking something similar. And I didn't want to get into specific, you know, bullet point item by item. Like, look, this, we think this needs further consideration, but I would think that since this is not necessarily this committee's purview, that we should, I would recommend, my recommendation would be to vote on approving the zoning changes with the understanding that additional consideration from the ZBA and the board be made. But again, that's not really worded well, so don't put that in the minutes, for Christ's sake. John talks. Yeah, see, this guy over here. Trying to think of exactly how we should put forward that that movement.
So maybe that motion would be, and I'll offer a friendly amendment to that. Maybe that this commission recommend to the Zoning Board of Appeals the zoning amendments as proposed by Halcyon Levine, accompanied by the notes and concerns as provided by the public comment.
I think that would be acceptable. There's one minor change and then one other thing I would like to bring up.
the next step for this would be for the village board to technically refer that to the zoning board of appeals. That's
right.
Just step right. That happens in order for the zoning board, because the village board is the applicant or the petitioner to the zoning board of appeals. That's how the process functions. So rather than directly to the zoning board of appeals, that would be my one comment on that. The other point I'd like to mention is that a couple of those recommendations that were included in that memo are not a specific number or requirement. So I don't know if the economic development wants to get into recommending a specific number for those parking requirements, or you just wanted to have those ranges proposed. Maybe John can elaborate that on a little bit. Zoning board will ultimately kind of narrow down to what that figure is, but.
Right. So I think there's a couple of ways to do it. I think what Commissioner Walfeld said, coupled with what Matt just said about this, would be recommending these considerations to the village board so that they could then refer the matter to the ZBA for public hearing for a text amendment. What I did on the second page of my memo is I brought forward the recommendations that the EDC has discussed in past meetings, and I've laid them out in order. And you could even you could either sort of do what Commissioner Walfeld said and say the recommendation is that the village board consider referring these to the ZBA for public hearing and for their exploration, and leave it at that. A couple of them have ranges, and you can refer a range. You can say, hey, we think the ZBA, you know, look at this. What Matt was discussing and Matt and I discussed earlier is a couple of them have ranges. And it's okay to have ranges if you want to get more specific or take out a range or narrow the range, you could. You don't have to. And parking was proposed at 1 to 1.5, somewhere in that ballpark, you know, because we've seen viable ranges within that consistent. And the other range was the lot area per unit. And that was listed as 500 to 1,000 is that range. So those two had ranges. The other ones didn't. They were just sort of a recommended number. And that one, there could be more explanation or more robust debate, because those are two big ones.
Yeah, again, I think that would probably be best served at the zoning board level, though, and not at this level. So,
So you're neither recommending or not recommending. We're just saying, here's some information to consider.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so I'll try to clarify my motion, because now that it was it was a recommendation by the EDC to the village board that they pose those considerations or for those considerations that the recommendations made by House Yellow V,
pardon me,
along with the public comment, denied into the various letters.
So it would still reference what is included in the memo, as that is the framework that is the EDC is recommending.
So we are recommending. So we're saying we agree versus here's some information for you to consider. We don't necessarily agree.
I'll try to clarify. It's recommending
that they consider
to the village board that they send the proposed changes that House Hill Levine has drawn up for consideration.
For consideration.
Yep.
Yes.
A point of order. You have a motion up, but it hasn't been seconded.
Well,
correct.
Yeah. I think it's been amended. It was.
Okay. So to summarize this whole thing, and I've listened carefully. I think Katie came as close as we're going to get.
Well, I think, Walter, I mean, if you put that to motion, I think we could vote on that specific.
I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll make that motion that EDC recommend Village Board. Village Board presents the zoning changes as proposed, and not changes, but the entire sort of broad analysis. Matt, I hope you're capturing this.
Recorded too.
That they present that to the Zoning Board of Appeals for their consideration.
I would second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for taking that. Was a more than difficult to eloquently say. Can't have John do everything. Thank you. I think that would take us past item number five.
And just one thing for the audience sake, this, since the next village board meeting is this upcoming Monday, this won't be on the agenda for the village board to discuss on Monday due to the short time. We don't want to rush it like that. We move slow. So it will be on in a future meeting. That might be the second meeting in May.
Number six, I'm going to shelve as well. Usually that goes tandem with the Chamber of Commerce update. I think we've had a pretty robust conversation already today on some of the other matters. So unless someone has something that they wanted to bring up on number six.
Are there any development updates from the village?
I guess the one point is the asbestos abatement for the Madison Street property has been completed. And we have a final report. The inspection company did a really thorough job of making sure that that is done properly. And the demolition work will resume very soon. We're hoping that that will begin next date at this time, but probably about a 2-month period for that and the two homes to be demolished.
So, yeah, moving on to seven, then two, development updates. Obviously, we're looking at the zoning. See, there's been some movement on Lake and Lathrop. How communicative have they been?
Well, we're happy to see that there's been some positive progress. Working, their building permit expires August 2nd, their 18-month building permit, so they will require Village Board action to extend that permit, and they obviously will not complete that work before August 2nd. I think we can all agree there. So that will be coming to the Village Board in the next few months for consideration.
Okay. If there's anything we need to do on the EDC level, let us know. And other business? We have movement to adjourn?
So moved.
Favor? Yep.
Aye.
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 Aye. Public? Yeah, and I'm happy to stick around too.
Oh, no, I-